Welcome to Beyond Sunday with Pastor Nick Williams. South Shore Community Church exists to help all people find and follow Jesus. Join us weekly as we talk through current sermons, theology, parenting issues, and how to have a gospel-centered marriage. We are praying that today's message helps you grow closer to Jesus. Now, here's your host, Pastor Nick.
Hey, podcasters, welcome back. We are in John chapter 7 today, which is an incredible, incredible passage. And within John chapter 7, there's so many questions. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I've got two kids, 12, 13 at this time, and we've never failed to encounter a moment where somebody learns something new, or Lori and I say something, and then we play this game of 20 questions, not the actual game. That would be fun. But the game of them just saying, wanting to know everything about what you're talking about. And the problem is sometimes they stump you, right? Sometimes they ask the questions. You're like, I just don't know if I know the answers. Well, in John chapter 7, we find actually 20 questions being asked within this chapter. Up to this point, John has spent time telling people who Jesus is, what his identity is. He's made the case in each chapter leading up to this moment, showing miracles and long talks in which Jesus has with people, explaining to the people exactly who he is. And then you come to chapter 7, and all of a sudden, there's just questions after questions. In fact, about every three verses, there's a new question. And we can boil the 20 questions that you find in this chapter down to about six major ones. And so for the time that we have together today, I want to just briefly address some of those questions. And what I would love for you to do is go back and look at John chapter 7, highlight some of the questions, wrestle with them. Some you'll know the answer to right away. Others may be questions that you've wrestled with in your life. And so you can sit back and begin to look at those and study scriptures for yourself. The first question that we find is, where is Jesus? Beginning in John chapter 7, Jesus has this conversation with some of his half-brothers, and they're talking about this celebration or festival of the tabernacles that's coming up in Jerusalem. And his brothers are telling Jesus, hey, you should go and perform your miracles there. That way more people would know about you. And they're not doing this in a way to lift Jesus up. The scripture actually says, it's verse 3 or 4, that his brothers at this point still didn't even believe he was the Messiah. And so I feel like they're kind of poking fun at him too a little bit, but they're telling him to go, and he says, hey, my time has not yet come. And so Jesus, about halfway through the festival, makes his way through to the festival. So his brothers went ahead of him, but now Jesus is making his way there. And as he's going, people are asking that question. People are saying, where is this Jesus? This Jesus that performed all these miracles, the guy that fed the 5,000, the 4,000, where is he at? And some wanted to see him because of who they thought he was and how amazing he was. Others said that he was just a person that deceived people. And so in John chapter 7, verse 11, the crowd simply ask, where is he? And the answer is that Jesus was simply waiting. He was waiting for the right moment. This is something we talked about at South Shore at our church in the last week, that sometimes we know the will of God, but we don't know the timing of God. And it's so easy when you and I know that God's called us to do something to try to rush it. When you know something has to be done, then you just say, all right, let's just do it. But I think it takes more spiritual discernment for you and I to understand God's timing versus God's will and to be able to wait. And Jesus was so in tune with God that he knew he needed to go there, but the day that his brothers went was not the day to go. He didn't need to rush God's plan. And so he waited. He waited till the appointed hour that was for him to go. And it was about halfway through. It's another question you kind of find asked through various ways in this passage. And it's this question, how does Jesus know so much? In fact, that question is asked directly. There's this moment that when Jesus finally makes it to Jerusalem, he stands in the temple courts and he begins to teach. And he's teaching with the authority of someone that knows the scriptures and has lived the scriptures beyond the authority of anybody else. And the crowd begins to whisper and talk to each other about this idea. How does this man who has no formal education, how does he speak the way he does? How does he speak with the understanding that he has? How does he have the spiritual maturity that he has? And I think sometimes Christians think spiritual growth is simply about more Bible knowledge. We think attending certain Bible studies means we're growing spiritually. We think if we read books about faith, then our faith is growing. We think a certain person and that can quote a bunch of verses out of the Bible that they're a spiritual giant. And we honestly confuse Bible knowledge with spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity is simply when you and I get to the point that we're submitting to the will of the Father. And this was the story of Jesus. And everything he did, even in the timing that he went to a town and to the moment that he spoke, he submitted to God. And so they begin to ask, hey, how do you know all these things? And he plainly tells them, I don't know these things from me. These things come from the one who sent me, which was a phrase he used over and over again. Another question we see wrestled with in John chapter 7 is who wants to kill Jesus? In fact, there's one point that Jesus kind of calls the crowd out and he says, hey, some of you just want to kill me. And they kind of push him off and say, you must be demon possessed. Nobody here is trying to kill you. But the religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus because he healed a man on the Sabbath, which is what Jesus begins to talk to them about right after this passage. But Jesus said healing and circumcision are no different. Now, let me explain that if you haven't read John chapter 7 or you weren't in church Sunday. Jesus' retort to the Pharisees was basically that, hey, you guys have a law that you don't work on the Sabbath, but you also have a law that if a male is born, that 8 days later he has to be circumcised. And sometimes that eighth day falls on the Sabbath. And so what do you do? And the answer was they circumcise him. And so they break their own law to follow another law. Or another way to say it is they break a law to follow tradition. And Jesus is saying, hey, you do that just to circumcise somebody, but I actually healed a man. I brought wholeness back to a guy's life, and you guys are upset with that. Now, another question that's wrestled with in John chapter 7, probably the most important question that you and I could wrestle with at all, is simply, who is Jesus? Maybe he's possibly the Messiah. Maybe he's possibly the one God promised long ago. Verse 20, obviously, some of them thought he was demon-possessed. Verse 40, some of them thought he was the Messiah. Verse 12, some of them thought he was a deceiver. Verse 12, some of them thought he was a good man. And we find a clear answer when we consider chapter 6 and chapter 7. In chapter 6, we have the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. We have the walking on water. We have the moment where he healed a Canaanite woman's child. And then, at the end of that chapter, he ties all those things together when he says, hey, I've been feeding you physically, but let me tell you why I'm really here. I am the bread of life. And he gives us that first I am statement. And in that I am statement, he's saying, I can give you bread that doesn't just fill your stomach, but fills your soul. And it's something that sustains for eternity. And then in chapter 7, he begins to talk about being the living water, the water that quenches the thirst. And so he's been painting this picture, and not in an obscure way, in a very clear way of who he really is. And again, over and over again, when he gets the chance, he says, hey, I don't come for me, I come for my Father, the one who sent me. Another question that we see kind of wrestled with in this passage is, will you come to Jesus? Now, you got to remember, the Pharisees don't like Jesus. In fact, they want to kill Jesus. And in this chapter, they actually send some guards towards Jesus to arrest him and bring him to them. And when those guards get to Jesus and they hear him speaking, they realize, man, we can't get this guy. We've never heard someone speak the way he does. And what they're not saying is they're not saying he's very eloquent and, man, he was just a cool speaker. They're saying the words he is speaking breathe life into people. He's speaking with authority that we've never heard before, even amongst the religious elite of the day. So will you come to Jesus? If you go back to the Old Testament and you look in the prophet Isaiah's book, by the time you read chapter 55, and this is the chapter that Jesus references in John chapter 7, you know that God is going to send his servant to save his people from judgment. Now, let me give you those verses. John chapter 7, verse 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Isaiah 55:1, come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water. Now, what all is happening here, what all this water talk is about, is this Festival of Tabernacles or Festival of the Booths that they're celebrating at this moment is a remembrance of what happened when the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. And when they're wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, God is providing for them. He's providing for them for direction by a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. He's providing for them food, bringing manna to them every morning except on the Sabbath. He's providing them water. And one of the crazy things, you think about them, they're in the middle of the desert. And so where are they going to find water? Those who are thirsty in a desert are people that usually die. And Jesus, or God called out to Moses to strike a rock and water would be pouring out of it. Now, Moses, if you know, commanded to speak to a rock so water would come out of it. And God provided water in the midst of the desert. In a desert, water means life. In a desert, if you're thirsty, you're dying. And Jesus is inviting those that are dying spiritually to come to him, to drink of the life that he has to offer. Isaiah 55:1, come everyone who is thirsty, come to the water. And you without silver, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without silver and without cost. Referencing back to Christ, that it doesn't cost you anything to come to him, that he has already paid the price, that he wants you, that he invites you to come to him empty-handed. The last question that we wrestle with in the last few verses of John chapter 7, verses 40 through 52, is simply this. And here's the question I want you to land with today. Do you believe Jesus? Because if you don't believe Jesus, you're not going to come to Jesus. You have to come to a point that you actually believe that he's God, that he's the only source of life, that he loves you, that he's gracious and merciful, that he died on a cross for you. And if you do, you'll come to him and you'll find peace. You'll find your thirst of your soul being quenched. You'll find eternal life. But if you don't believe that, you will never come to him. As you go about your day today, whether you're riding in your car or headed to work, headed home, on the exercise bike, wherever you find yourself, spend some time wrestling with that question. If you are a believer, if you're someone that's already found a relationship with God, I still want you to wrestle with it. And the reason I want you to wrestle with it is if you have friends that don't know Christ, that is the question they need to wrestle with. And if you've never truly spent time understanding the depth of that question, do you believe? Because Jesus said that's what it is. Belief. That's what changes everything. Belief in him brings faith by the grace of God. So as you go about your day, share the love of Jesus. Tell someone about him and spend some time wrestling with the questions of the faith. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you have an incredible week.
Thank you for tuning in to Beyond Sunday. We hope the conversations and insights shared here have brought you encouragement and have deepened your journey of faith. If today's episode has inspired you, we invite you to follow or subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an opportunity to grow closer to Jesus alongside us. Don't forget to share this podcast with friends and family who might be blessed by it too. Until next time, thanks for joining us, and may God bless you abundantly.